You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
So, I'm going to need you to be patient with me this morning because I want to offer a word that's going to feel as though it's taken me a while to get to where you may want me to go. That's really every Sunday, I think, though, if we're like real honest about it. All right. But I want to talk about this idea of restoring our common life with a blues moan and a gospel shout. Everybody say blues moan and a gospel shout. All right, here's where we're going. W.E.B. Du Bois once asked, "How shall integrity face oppression? What shall honesty do in the face of deception? Decency in the face of insult?" These questions make sense when we remember that Du Bois is asking them while living in a Jim Crow America. He's asking these questions knowing they're answerless, that all they really do is highlight the contradictions that are at work in a society where black and brown skin bodies are not valued. It's a moment in time reflective of cruelty and sorrow, yet love and hope. It's W.E.B. Du Bois letting out what Dr. Otis Moss III calls a blues moan. See, blues as a genre of music is the narrative of catastrophe expressed in a lyric and a note. It tells the truth, the blues. It allows the suffering to speak. And as an act of lament, it doesn't allow, and this is important, as an act of lament, it doesn't allow the catastrophe to have the final word. See, in the face of cruelty and sorrow, there is a form of love deep down within every soul that could pull people past feelings of bitterness and revenge and into the desire to see what is good, to see and promote justice, while still embracing lament, this force of expression is embodied in the blues. You know, it's like B.B. King stepping out from Jim Crow, Mississippi, walking through the back door of the club to step on a stage before a crowd of folks who wouldn't like him once he leaves the stage and he sings, "Nobody loves me but my mother, and she might be jiving too." See, blues has its roots in this music of jazz, which itself began as an ethnic music. And I want to say that as one who's been formed by jazz and blues from my youth, that I want to give honor to this story because it's not my music. You see, it's more than a color difference, it's a cultural difference. The jazz movement arises from the African-American culture and community of musicians in the era of Jim Crow. And it started in New Orleans. See, New Orleans becomes central to the story of jazz, where the city's population was more diverse than anywhere at the time in the South. The people of African, French, Caribbean, Italian, German, Mexican, American, Indian, as well as English descent all interacted with one another. And this African-American musical tradition mixed with others, blending with various ethnic expressions of music, including genres we now call ragtime, marches, blues, funk, and any other kinds of music, really. But much of what we would call broadly jazz. See, New Orleans was home to many of the early jazz musicians, but due to the racial violence and tension in that Jim Crow South, many fled to other cities like Chicago and Kansas City and New York. And what we learn is that jazz, as this musical expression, brought an element of freedom back into black neighborhoods and black lives, lifted up city life, and became a respite to black suffering. And see, what many people do not know, in my opinion, is that jazz, like the blues, is deeply theological. See, it's more than music. Jazz, like the blues, is this history, of tradition, of thought. And it all comes together in this imagery and vocabulary that gives the music a particular kind of presence. It has a geography and a story. And as a music that arises from an African soul that is birthed from struggle and pain, hope and joy, jazz and the blues were born out of a place where love met struggle, where hope met despair, and where from it all, there were no words good enough to give a voice to the confusion and contradiction of the innermost being, the soul. Have you ever felt so heavy-hearted that you didn't have words to say, but you just had to make a noise or turn on something that could resonate with your soul? See, jazz is a song of the soul. And when words cannot express the feelings and a song must be sung, the instrument became the voice. And sometimes when the moan and groan of a world gone wrong is just too strong to remain inside, the voice can find the words. And when the voice finds the words, that, beloved, is what we call the blues. The vocal expressions of the blues go back way before Jim Crow. The vocal expression of the blues come from various forms of African-American plantation songs, such as field hollers and work songs, spirituals, and ballads. And eventually, in the Jim Crow South, the blues was played by roaming solo musicians on acoustic guitars, maybe with a piano and a harmonica at weekend parties, picnics, and juke joints. And this became controversial. But their audience was primarily made of most of those who still worked in fields because it was a music for the people, by the people, dedicated to giving a voice to the suffering, pain, and disappointment that life often brings, as well as the hope that is still possible in a life willing to love, even in the midst of catastrophe. And as more Christ-following African-American brothers and sisters found themselves in need of a song to sing and a melody to bring, they chose the blues. Like in the mid-1920s, when Gary Davis migrated to Durham, North Carolina, which was the major center of black culture at the time, and he picked up his guitar and his harmonica and had to find a voice for the deep suffering inside his soul and the groaning that was going on. And with his guitar in his hand and the lyric in his soul, he let out a blues moan, becoming one of North Carolina's most popular blues men. And then a few years later, Gary Davis's blues met the gospel shout of resurrection when he met Jesus, and he became a minister and went by the name Reverend Gary Davis. And the blues moan for Reverend Gary Davis never left. He would sing his song, "Death Have No Mercy." But just now, he believes that death doesn't have the final words, neither do that blues moan. He followed it up with a gospel shout. And he's saying, "I'll fly away." So I could tell you about Reverend Robert Wilkins on all the way to Sister Rosetta Tharpe, all the way down to Mahalia Jackson, and so many others, but I won't, because I don't want you thinking that I'm spending unnecessary time in this gathering of God's people outlining the story of a music that at first glance might not have a natural connection to our religious sensibilities and longings. What I want to present to you is that it absolutely does. See, I'm not trying to give us a lesson in jazz or blues history. I'm just trying to say that we have a history with the blues. God's people have always had a history with the blues. From the empire of Pharaoh to the Psalms to the exiles of Babylon and the streets of Rome, what I want to say is that our faith is steeped in what Reverend Otis Moss III calls the blues moan and the gospel shout. He reminds us, and I quote, "Before you get to your resurrection shout, you must pass by the challenge and pain called Calvary." See, God's people have always swayed from the blues moan to the gospel shout. And it doesn't take too long living in this current moment where pandemics once again rear its ugly heads and hospital beds are in scarcity and medical workers have to cancel vacations and cancer still comes back and death visits all unexpectedly, and then we as a church share in that suffering. When our beloved brother Mike finds himself free of eye cancer just to be diagnosed with thyroid cancer. When our sister Becky, Jason's wife, who preached a couple of weeks ago, finds out yesterday that her father unexpectedly passed away. We are not immune to the blues moan. Sometimes it's hard to find the gospel shout. See, God's people have always swayed from the blues moan and the gospel shout. I mean, just look at the Psalms. One third of the Psalms. One third. Everybody say one third. That's about 50. Everybody say about 50. 50. Are psalms of lament, complaints, and protest. To lift up a call to attention to the reality of human loss and human pain. And these psalms of lament, complaint, and protest, just like the blues, is a moan and groan in a world that's gone wrong and there's no answer sufficient to bring the kind of hope we long for. It's a language of disorientation. And it was the Jewish psalm book. And even though many of the 50 or so psalms are psalms of lament, complaint, and protest, if you read them slowly, you can sense a kind of gospel shout woven in between the moaning. It enables the soul to find moments of hope, even in the midst of despair and desperation. See, the music of jazz and blues will always tell you the truth. It'll never lie to you. It'll never tell you to get over it. And the scriptures will too. But see, here's the problem. Some of us want to come to church and we just want to forget about everything that's happened in the world. We want to come to church and we don't really want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear the bad news of the world that's gone wrong. We don't want to confront the groan and the moan because we do it every other day of the week. And we want to come to church and just feel good about ourselves. But that's not telling the truth. When we come to church and we give space for the moan and the groan to be surfaced, the gospel shout comes. Can I get an amen? And so we visit the psalm. Psalms like Psalm 142 with the psalmist who had a song to sing and said, I cry out loud for help from the Lord. I beg out loud for mercy from the Lord. I pour out my concerns before God. I announce my distress to Him. When my spirit is weak inside me, you still know my way. Now there's a little bit of a shout. You hear the moan and then there's a little bit of a shout, but you still know. But they've hidden a trap for me in the path I'm taking back to the moan. Look to the right and see no one stands up for me. There is no refuge for me. No one cares about me. I cry to you, Lord, for help. You are my refuge, I say. There's a gospel shout. You are my refuge, I say. You are all I have in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am very weak. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Free me from prison so that I can praise your name. The righteous will gather around me because you deal generously with me. This, beloved, is an example of the kind of blues song that Jesus and his disciples would learn to sing while growing up and worshiping in the synagogues under the occupation of Roman Empire. See, it's important that they had these songs for the blues they would feel, especially the disciples, because they didn't understand what was happening as they followed Jesus. I mean, you open up John 16 and you begin to read. And in John 16 becomes some of the last words of Jesus to his disciples. And Jesus is trying to tell them, all the things that you have seen have been real and are from God and are about God. And I've been a part of that and you've been a part of that. But I'm about to leave. And the disciples don't know what to do with that. He said, but I'm about to leave now. Now God's going to send you God's Spirit to comfort you and console you and guide you. But I'm not going to be here with you. And so look at John 16, verse 22. Jesus says, So you also have sorrow now. Jesus has been saying, you're going to have joy because you're going to have the Spirit of God, but I'm not going to be with you, and you're going to have sorrow. You're going to feel the tension of the memory of having me with you and yet not being with you in the way you think you need me with you. So you, verse 22, he says, also have sorrow now, but I will see you again, he says. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. And he goes on to talk about the tension of the sorrow they're going to carry and the moaning in their soul and the shouting they're going to want to do because of the gospel that's in their soul. And then verse 29 comes on, and finally the disciples, and I think the disciples, I like to hear the disciples saying this like in a little exasperated, kind of like frustrated way, because listen, I say like, look, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. It's like some of the emails I get from some folks in church about sermons. I appreciated that one because I understood that one, Fred. That was good. And he goes on to say, verse 30, now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this we believe you came from God. Now, it'd be nice if Jesus just stopped and said, I am so glad, let us all stand up and sing. Right? Like, let's leave on a good note. That's what we would like Jesus to do, right? You feel good, you're good, you got it, you feel good, then let us sing. Oh, right? Like, God is so good, whatever. But Jesus responds to them what I think may be even also exasperated, and he says, do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. Now, if I'm a disciple, I'm like, why couldn't we just end it on a high note? Because that's not the truth. Jesus had to tell this to tell them something that they could even take personally. Jesus says, okay, like now you believe, but there's going to come a moment when it gets too hard for you and you're going to abandon me. That's what Jesus is saying. And Jesus knows the blues, doesn't he? Jesus knows the blues moan. He moaned when Lazarus died. He moaned when he wept over Jerusalem. He moans. He's going to moan in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to groan from the cross of Calvary. Jesus knows the sorrow. And he knows the truth. And then Jesus knows the gospel shout, because look at the next sentence. He says, Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. It's like Jesus knows what we all know to be true, that we have community, and then when we hit hard times, sometimes community gets thin. We have people we think we can trust, but then we hit the hard times, and in the words of the blues song, nobody loved me when I'm down and out. That's how it works. We know. So Jesus wants them to know that he knows too. Jesus wants them to know that his hope isn't in them, that it's in the presence of the Father, even if he's feeling the blues of loneliness from his friends. So what does Jesus say in verse 33? Verse we all know so well. As a matter of fact, that was the YouVersion verse of the day yesterday, apparently. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. I've told you these hard things. Listen, y'all. I've told you the truth about a world that is moaning and groaning. I didn't let you off the hook. I didn't let you deny it. I know you wanted me to. I know you'd have preferred me to end the song right there, to end the message right there. I didn't do that. I told you this so you could have peace, if you trust in me. Because what does he say? I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in the world. what he says. Do you see the blues moan? You will feel despair. You will be discouraged. Your love will meet catastrophe, and your life will feel disoriented. Your plans will not go as you had dreamed. You will get the blues, and your soul will moan and groan in this world gone wrong, and you will feel the hardness of life. Jesus says you will have suffering in this world. But what else does he say? But take heart. Everybody say, take heart. Everybody do me a favor, reach out, please, and grab and bring it into your chest. See, that takes effort. Jesus says, take heart. Don't receive heart. He doesn't say, welcome heart. He says, you take heart. You let that moan and that groan turn into a shout, and you take heart. Take heart, because what does he say? I have conquered. Everybody say, conquered. Conquered the world. Jesus doesn't say, I've overcome the world. He doesn't say, I've fixed everything and made it all right. Jesus says, I've conquered the world. The language of conquered is a strength of language. It is a language of power. Jesus didn't just halfway get it done. Jesus didn't just skate through it. Jesus overtook it. Come on now. First service was far more charismatic than all y'all. Look, do this. Everybody unbuckle your charismatic seatbelt and just let it out. And see, that's part of the struggle we have. We know how to moan, but we don't know how to shout. You got to learn to shout. You got to take heart. You will feel despair. You will be discouraged. Your love will meet catastrophe. And when it does, let it out. Give the Lord your honest words. Don't pretty it up. Just let it out. Find a psalm, a hymn, a song. In the tradition of the psalmist, remember, God wants you to give a voice to your blues, your complaint, your lament. And in the tradition of Jesus, who wept over Jerusalem, moaned in the Garden of Gethsemane, and groaned on the cross of Calvary, God understands that you need to give a voice to your despair, discouragement, or disorientation. Just whatever you do, beloved, do it to the Lord. That's taking heart. Direct it to God. Climb on the roof. If you have to, shake your fist like Habakkuk and give it to God. Giving it to God is taking heart. If you just keep it inside, it'll be the death of a thousand cuts, and you'll be swallowed up by the despair that denial and silence brings. You're not going to scare God off his throne. He's pretty anchored there. Embrace the spirit of the Psalms, the tradition of Jesus. As the almighty, infinite creator of heaven and earth, God has mercy on his finite created ones that he loves. So sing your blues to God, beloved. And in due time, everybody say in due time. In due time, as the blues moan, is reminded of the cross of Christ, who himself knows suffering, resurrection power will come and lead you to a gospel shout. You see that it's possible in this story. Take heart, Jesus says. I've conquered the world. See, we gather together and make room for a blues moan. We come together willing to tell the truth and listen to the truth so we can allow the suffering to speak. And when we do this, as the people gathered together by the Spirit of God, by our very act of giving a voice to the blues moan within us, we are not allowing catastrophe to have the last word. We're not. No matter how many songs of lament we sing and how many broken prayers we pray, when we do it together, we're never letting catastrophe have the word, last word, because where do we end up? Where do we end up? We end up at the table. Every week in this church, we end up at the table. And that becomes our gospel shout.
You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.